Now, the rest of the story. It began as calamities often begin, with a trifling thing. A boy was walking downtown one evening, early March, spotted a man in uniform, a soldier. Momentarily overcome with mischief, the boy reached into a snowbank, patted a nice round snowball into shape, and he threw the snowball at the soldier. And the missile found its mark, and the soldier got angry and chased the boy and caught him and shook him. The boy cried for help. Some men gathered around began admonishing the soldier for treating a young boy so roughly. The soldier, still fuming, told the grown-ups to mind their own business. The men started pushing the soldier around. See how you like it. The soldier called for his superior, Captain Preston, who was nearby. Captain Preston hurried to the scene, accompanied by a half dozen other soldiers, and they were armed. And by then, the crowd of civilians had grown into a mob, an ugly, threatening mob. They began manhandling the soldiers until some of the soldiers drew their weapons and fired. Several men were injured. Five fell dead. And this is the rest of the story. Eight soldiers in all were arrested and charged with murder. They were to be tried not by court-martial, but in a civil court. Unpopular as were the defendants, not an attorney could be found who would take their case. And then a friend of Captain Preston's went personally to see John. John was one of the sharpest lawyers in town. If anyone could get the soldiers off, John could do it. Well, Preston's friend pleaded with him, and at last John accepted. The attorney's own colleagues and friends were shocked at his decision to defend those murderers. And some acquaintances made fun of John, and others just outright told him off, but nobody approved what he was doing. And this scorn, even from friends, took a ponderous toll on the attorney. And more significantly, he realized that such a case could ruin his law practice. But he also knew that his clients were dead men without him. So he did investigate. He carefully prepared his case. On October 24, the case went to trial. And in court, John did prove that Captain Preston had given no orders to fire, that Preston's men had only used their weapons in self-defense. And Preston was acquitted, as were the others except for two, and those two were let off with a comparatively light reprimand. For his services, John received a modest fee and a torrent of public indignation, and very nearly a nervous breakdown. But he, the lawyer, consoled himself in the knowledge that justice had been done, and also history had been made. For you see, this shooting in the streets of Boston, which began with a snowball, snowballed. And what happened on the night of March 5, 1770 was remembered forever after as the Boston Massacre, among the fatal events that precipitated the American Revolution. And John, the defense attorney, the living casualty of the Boston Massacre, the colonist who dared to throw his law practice in the harbor to side with a handful of British soldiers, the barrister who put a fair trial ahead of his own reputation, eventually recovered his good name. And then some, for that name was John Adams, who one day became the second president of the United States. And now you know the rest of the story.